That's what we're about this year, L-O-V-E, love. We're in a series called Love Does, and I would like to have you turn in your Bibles as you're, can you do two or three things at one time? Receive the offering and give tithes and offerings and turn in your Bibles as well. We're going to look at John, 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. That's where we're going to begin today. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. As you're turning there, and if you don't have your Bibles, it'll be on the PowerPoint so you can read it along with us. As you're turning there, may I invite you to pray for the Newton family, Bill and Karen Newton. Bill's dad went on to be with Jesus yesterday in the afternoon. He was well up in years. I never saw the guy without a smile on his face. I believe that was a reflection of the Spirit of God that was in him. Just a patriarch to this church family as long as I've been here for going on 12 years now. And tremendous man of God. He was in the military, did so many great things. If I had some flags outside, I'd lower them half mast. He would deserve that type. What a great opportunity for him to be with Jesus today. Pray for Bill, family members, Margaret, his wife. I talked with them last night, prayed with them, so please do that. So in John, 1 John chapter 4, 1, here's what it says. Dear friends, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit. Don't believe every voice. Don't believe everything you hear. But make sure you test the spirits to see whether they're from God or not. The reason is because many false prophets, false teachers, false people have risen and they say things, and what they say is not always true. Don't believe everything you hear. In other words, there is a right, there is a wrong. You must test the things to see if they're good or evil, if they lead you away from God, if they lead you closer to God. Don't listen to every voice and think that it's right. Now, in just a few verses down, if you have your Bibles open or if you're on your cell phone and you have your Bible on your phone, just scroll down to verse 6 and it says this. John is still speaking. We're from God, and whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. The emphasis in that verse is not on them, but on what they say. They don't listen to what is being said. What God spoke through them has become our word. It's the word of God that we use as our authoritative directive for our lives. But we, it said, goes on to say, verse 6, that's you and me, we the people, we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So the Holy Spirit has been given to us to help us know what is right and what is wrong. This morning I want to talk to you kind of from a father's perspective in the church about what is right and what is wrong, because we serve a righteous God and he always does the right thing. And that's kind of the big idea that I want you to be. I want us to be, and I'm not saying we are, and I think we are to a large extent, I want us all to be on the same page that as we move through this year and learn how to love God, love opportunities, victories, evangelism, as we learn to grow in our love for him, for people, I want us to be committed to doing the right thing. Now, I have to tell you, I'm the first to confess that I don't always do things right. And sometimes my flesh gets the best of me and I don't even do the right thing. But I am committed as your pastor, as a husband to my wife Donna here, to my children, to those who listen to me, I'm committed to doing the right thing. We must be a people because we serve a righteous God who always does the right thing. This series is called Love Does the Right Thing. So that's what I want to talk with you about this morning. Yesterday I wrote an article for the Sentinel. I called it 50 Shades of Black and White. They left the 50 out for whatever reason. And those who laugh, you must have are aware to some extent of what's happening in our culture. It's very important that we know what's going on in our culture and what's being said. And I wanted to address the major issues that are brought up in that movie, because there's been a lot of people who are applauding it, some people who are appalled by it, some people who are confused between right and wrong, and those issues can be blurred in our culture today. So I wrote with that in mind. I didn't address the movie itself, but I spoke very clearly, at least from my vantage point, very clearly some of the main theological reasons as to help us make certain decisions, whether we should watch, whether we should read, because of that's why I wrote that article. If you desire to read that, and I'm not saying you should, I'm just saying if you desire to and you don't have the Sentinel, we're going to put that on our blog. And the way you can read it, it will be posted on Tuesday. I think it might be, it wouldn't hurt for you to read it. It'll be, you go to kchanford.com. Now, right now, if you're aware of our webpage, the way to get to it is kcfchurch.org. And you can still do it that way, but we're making a transition. Within the next couple of months, you'll not be able to reach our site by that address. You'll have to go kchanford.com. And that will take you to our site. When you get to Koinonia's site, on the right-hand corner, you'll see media. Press on media, and you can scroll down to Be Encouraged. That's our blog section. And it'll be included in that blog if you're interested. Now, even though this morning's message is not about that movie, nor is it an attempt for this pastor to tell anyone here what they should watch, what they should listen to, where they should go, what they should do, it is an attempt to give you and me some guidelines that would help us discern what is right and what is wrong for us personally. And I wish I could say that it was black and white, but there are many shades of gray when we talk about what is right and wrong for individual people. I was born in 1951, and all we had at that time was black and white televisions. It wasn't until 53 or 54 that the color television came into being. Most people couldn't afford the colored televisions, so it wasn't until the mid-60s that was available to the average person like my family. And so all we had is black and white. I was also brought up in a black and white theological system. There was a right and there was a wrong, and there was no in between. What was right for me would be right for you. And if you aren't doing what we're doing, then you're wrong. There's a whole lot of lists, lots of do's and don'ts. My mother used to say, they can do it, but you can't. And the feeling that I was able to articulate later on in life was, they're wrong and we're right. Because we lived in a one-size-fits-all, a cookie-cutter type of theology. As I've grown, however, I've realized a lot of things about right and wrong. There's a timing issue. Sometimes it may be wrong to tell a five-year-old certain things about life, but it may be right at 12 years old to tell that child. I know that there are differences in rights and wrongs. There's some things, according to Scripture, that's absolute truth. And what absolute truth is, it's right for all people in all places at all times. Doesn't change. There is an absolute truth. Some people do not believe that. One of our pastors, Jeff and Andrew as well, but they teach at a college as kind of an adjunct professor at times, and Jeff speaks at an ethics class. He said to me the other day, he says, it's amazing how many college students don't believe in any absolutes. So he puts up on the board, it's okay to torture babies. And then they have this big discussion because, see, we know that that's wrong. There are absolutes, whether we want to admit them or not. But there's also things that are right for me, but may not necessarily be wrong for you. And there are things that are wrong for you, maybe, but they're okay for me. Paul says there are some things, matter of fact, in 1 Corinthians, he says, listen, we have the right to do anything. So that when God created us, he gave us a free will. You are free to do anything. And he says to this, he says to me, you say that you're free to do anything, and you are, you're free. But let me remind you, everything's not beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but I, this comes from 1 Corinthians 6:12, but I will not be mastered by anything. I can look at whatever I want. I can read whatever I want. I can do whatever I want. I can go wherever I want. But all things aren't really good for me or profitable for me. They say that 100 million copies of 50 Shades of Grey has been sold. And that means that there's, and I'm a part of the 6,900,000 plus, if there's 7 billion people in the world, I'm a part of the 6,900,000 who hasn't read or seen the movie. Don't have any attention to. I've read enough. I know what the major issues are. I've heard the talk. I've listened to our culture. And I'm so glad that Jesus didn't have to sin in order to help us with sin. I'm so glad that you don't have to look at certain things. You don't have to read certain things. You don't have to go to certain places in order to have a ministry. Jesus had the greatest ministry ever, and he was sinless. So don't feel bad if you have watched it. Don't feel bad if you haven't watched it. I'm giving you guidelines today that will help us discern what's right for me in a given situation on the basis of the Lord's word. So having said all of that, turn with me to Genesis 13, 7 through 17. I want to look at a time that happened in the life of Abraham and Lot. And I want to give you four don'ts. Four don'ts that are generalized, so it'll help you, as it's helped me, to make decisions that will lead me on the right path. In Genesis 13, 7 through 17, we encounter two guys, Abraham and Lot. They're related to each other. They've traveled with each other. They've grown together, and their possessions have increased. They're reaching a point now where they can't really sustain everything without separating. There's something good about separation when it's right. I think all parents want their kids to at some point grow up and get out. Problem is they keep coming back like a yo-yo. There's a time to separate. And this was one of those times. And Abraham said to Lot, listen, I'm not going to make this choice. I'm going to let you make the choice. If you choose to go to the left, I'll go to the right. And if you choose to go to the right, I'll go to the left. There's something good about that. When you say, I'm not going to make my choice, I'm going to let God make my choices. Whenever you make that decision in your life, I'm going to first of all check out what God has to say about what I do. That will keep the lines of right and wrong from getting very blurred if you make that decision alone. But there are four things that Lot did that really led him down the wrong road. Now, we're not even told that there was a right and a wrong here. It wasn't like Lot's decision was wrong and Abraham's was right, because if Lot had chose the other land, then God would have made the other one work for him. So we're not dealing with a black and white issue. We're dealing with a gray issue. And those are the hard ones, because we have to have some discernment for ourselves, or we can get caught up in what everybody else says. So here, let me read it to you and then give you four don'ts that will give me four principles that will help us. Quarreling arose, verse 7, Genesis chapter 13, between Abraham's herders and Lot's, the Canaanites and the Perizzites. First service I said parasites, but it's Perizzites. Were also living in the land at that time. So Abraham said to Lot, let's not have any quarreling between you and me, or between your herders and mine, for we're close relatives. Is not the whole land before you? Let's part company. If you go to the left, I'm going to go to the right. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left. So Lot looked around, and if you mark in your Bibles, then I'd encourage you to circle that, or if you have your Bible on your phone like I do, just kind of highlight it. It says, he saw that the whole plain of Jordan toward Zoar was well watered. So the first thing he did, he saw something that was beautiful, something that looked really wonderful. It was like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. See, sometimes you don't know which road to take, but we're always going to come to some fork in the road. Some roads will be narrow and some will be wide. You'll obviously know that's not for the saved person. If I call myself a Christian, there's some roads that I don't want to go down. They're obvious. But there are some roads that aren't so, quite so obvious. They may not lead in the right direction. That's where we need the wisdom of God. And this road that he chose, it ended up with sin all around. Sodom and Gomorrah was ultimately destroyed. So it says in verse 11, so Lot chose for himself. Circle that if you circle in your Bible. He chose for himself the whole plain of the Jordan and set out toward the east. The two men parted company. Abraham lived in the land of Canaan while Lot lived among the cities of the plain and pitched his tents near Sodom. Now the people of Sodom were wicked and were sinning greatly against the Lord. And the Lord said to Abraham, after Lot had departed from him, look around from where you are, to the north, to the south, to the east, and to the west. And I will, all the land that you see, circle this, I will give to you and your offspring forever. I will make your offspring like the dust of the earth, so that if anyone can count the dust, then your offspring could be counted. Go walk through the length and the breadth of the land, for, circle it, I am giving it to you. Here's the four principles. Number one, Lot didn't look for the right thing. He looked for the thing that brought him pleasure. Don't determine what is right on the basis of what brings you pleasure. Don't let that be the only contributing factor. I can't tell you how many times I've talked to people who have an opportunity to advance their career, and the only thing they're looking at is the pleasure of having more money. And when you make, and some people have made terrible decisions because they just want more money. I mean, who doesn't? If you want to give me some more money, I'll take some more money. I mean, we all want that. But when you make decisions purely on what pleases you, on what brings pleasure to you, you'll find that it will lead you down the wrong track. It says, he was looked and he was pleased by what he saw. The same test that was given to Adam and Eve. When Eve saw that the tree, it looked wonderful to her, that led her into the wrong road. Don't allow your eyes and your pleasure to guide you. You've got to be governed. Folks, I've got to be governed. You've got to be governed, not by pleasure, but by purpose. What's my purpose in life? What do I want to be? Do I want to be a good dad? Do I want to be a good mother? Do I want to be a good friend? Do I want to be a good pastor? Whatever the purpose is for me, I'm going to find the decisions, yes or no, right and wrong, in the purpose that God has given to me. Because there are some things that don't help me fulfill my purpose. And if I make all of my decisions upon pleasure through the eye, you'll be led astray. Listen to what 1 John 2:16 says. Everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, comes not from the Father, but from the world. This happened to me just about 3 weeks ago. I started to yield to something because my eyes got fixated on it. It happened to be a swivel leather recliner. We're not talking about need, we're talking about want. My wife and I were just rearranging the furniture. We have kind of a leather couch and chair that we've had for what, almost 20 years, maybe even more than that. And it's not worn out. I wish it would wear out so they could justify getting something else. Sucker just lasts and lasts and lasts. Put it in there. I says, boy, that's big. And I thought, we need a swivel leather chair. Because every time I want to watch television, I got to move the chair around. And it's just, so I started looking on internet with my eyes. And man, I started to see some, whew, those are great leather chairs. And man, we got $1,500, $1,000, $500 or $600 for. But you know, the more I looked at it, that didn't really seem to be that much. I even started to convince myself, we've got a need. This is no longer a want. We've got to have that. I can't go for the rest of my life turning the chair around. I got to have something just swivel around. And so I started looking, and then that look, you know, Donna, I asked Donna, I says, do you think we should get a chair? No, I don't think so. We don't need it. But as I kept looking, I was persuasive, and I convinced Donna, that she should buy this chair, you know, for me. So this look, and I got fixated on it. I started seeing, I said, let's go look at Salmon's and furniture store here in town. Let's go look here. And we started looking various places. And I'm telling you, if you allow that to be the basis of your decision, you'll go wrong most of the time. I'm glad I consulted God, which is the last step, because it was unequivocally, you don't need that, Tim. You know, you don't need that. You're not that old yet. You're okay. You're getting there, though. Okay, well, I'm taking that as a word from the Lord that maybe down the road I can buy it. You see, what's right for you, now there's nothing intrinsically wrong with swivel chairs or automobiles, you know, but you have to make a decision on something a little higher than just your pleasure and what you want. The second thing is, don't make a decision just on the basis of yourself. Do you notice it says he chose for himself, verse 11. He didn't choose the right thing, he chose the selfish thing. I have a lot of desires, and I could do, in God's eyes, there are a lot of things I could do that I don't do. And the reason I don't do some of those things is because of people. When you don't consider anybody else and how your decisions will affect the lives of other people, you will find that you are open to blurring the right and wrong and moving on the wrong road. Every decision that we make, we have to take into consideration that we're not alone. What I do with my time, where I go, what I buy, those types of things. There's three things that guide me: wisdom, weakness, and witness. I always ask myself when I'm making a decision, is this a part of God's wisdom? Is there anything in the Bible, or is there anything that says that, you know, I shouldn't do it? If that passes the test, I always look at my weakness. There are some things that may be okay for you, but because I'm not here just for myself, I'm here for others too, I make decisions on the basis of my weakness. You've heard me say, if you've been here for a while, that I don't have HBO in my home. I don't have Showtime, Cinemax. They've offered it time and time again. Some of you, if I had you raise your hand, I know that some of you have that. I'm not here to condemn you. I'm not here to say what is right and what's wrong. I'm just saying that when I consider my weakness, I can't have that in my home, because I know that I will yield to temptation when nobody's around. So it's not weakness so much as it is wisdom for me to say no to those types of things. Now see, that may be, you may not have a problem with that. And I've tried to justify it in my mind. Well, these programs, oh, it's free and there's so many good things that I can watch. The problem is I don't watch the good stuff. I seem to gravitate to the bad stuff. See, so we've got to, when we make decisions, it's not just about you. I have to make decisions on the basis of how is this going to affect my wife? How is this going to affect my kids? How's this decision that I'm making, is this the right road for me? How will it affect the church that I pastor? See, there are a lot of things I could do. I drove for 10 years a 2004 Dodge Neon, which now my son drives, because we reached a point where we really did need a third vehicle. But I drove that, and I could have driven a better car. But I didn't do that because in my spirit, I felt like where I'm at in life, where he's positioned me, I don't need to be driving. See, you can drive a Mercedes, you can drive a Volvo, you can drive a Chevy, you can drive whatever you want. I can't. Why? I make those decisions on the basis of weakness, wisdom, and my witness. Those are three stables that we need to know. You can't make decisions. But Lot did. He didn't seek the right thing. He sought the selfish thing. The third, don't take what you want Wait for it to be given. Do you notice that? He didn't wait. I love that about Abraham, and that is the key to finding what's right and wrong for you in any given situation. Say, God, I'm not going to take anything. I'm going to wait for you. Is there anything wrong with me buying a swivel chair? No. I had the money. I wouldn't have put it on credit. I could have purchased it, but it wasn't right for me to do that. There are lots of things in this life that are neither right nor wrong, but when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, it becomes wrong for you. And I could have taken it. See, sometimes we get this thing, I want something so bad because my eyes have looked at it and it's created a lust within me, the lust of the eyes that John talks about, and I'm really not thinking of the cost, how this will affect my family. I won't have enough to pay for the diapers. I won't have but I don't care about that. I just want what I want. And so I hear this thing called creative financing, and I can make it work so that I can get what I want when I want it. And I don't care what you want to call it, creative financing, what? It's not right if you've made it on the basis of your eyes and just bringing you pleasure, haven't considered anybody else, and you're trying to make it happen instead of being given it. I've learned something in my life, and it's this. If you take something for yourself, you'll always have to guard it because someone will take it from you. But if you wait for God to give it to you, no one can take it away. No one can take it away. I've often wondered about married couples who go through a divorce, and someone before the divorce is having an affair with the married person. And I wonder why they think that they can take something that isn't yours and not think that later on in life, the same way that this person has cheated on their mate, that they'll cheat on you. I mean, it just doesn't seem logical. See, God wants to give us stuff, but at the right time. I hurt for young girls and young boys who take sex before the right time, and they reap sometimes pretty serious consequences down the road. Why is our orphanages and our foster homes full? Many times it's because we take what should be the, when you hear the words, I'm pregnant, it ought to be the words that bring great joy to your life. But because we take something before it was given, all of a sudden it doesn't evoke joy, it only brings up pain and a wish that we could go back and change things. Don't take things, because whenever you do, you start to get on the wrong road. And the last principle I find from this is, Lot didn't even talk with God, but Abraham talked with God. Don't ever do anything without consulting with God. Consult with people. Man, great wisdom in counsel and opening up and asking people to help you. Now, as good as these four principles are, I want to kind of wrap up with the master key to discerning right and wrong in those gray areas of life. And that master key is called the Holy Spirit. And I didn't ask Angie to come up here and talk about the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit is a major part. He's the one who helps us in this area of truth. John 16:13 says, when he comes, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, when he comes, he's going to guide you into all the truth. He will not speak of his own. He'll speak only of what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. When you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, and if you haven't done that today, I trust that you'll make a decision to get on the right road, because there is a right and a wrong road. One leads to hell, one leads to heaven. If you've never surrendered your life to Jesus, you're on the wrong road. And this is an opportunity for you to get on the right road today. But when you make that decision to get on the right road, then you receive Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He is inside of you. But the Holy Spirit in you, even though he's in you in his fullness. He's really in you in his potential, because you have not opened up or learned or understood the various aspects of the Holy Spirit. And so it's a growing process. So as I receive Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, then I begin to discover the Holy Spirit's working in my life, the gifts that he has that helps me. One of the gifts that the Holy Spirit offers is discernment. Whether you know it or not, if you know God and he's really in you, there is discernment. Listen to what 1 John 2:20 says. You have received the Holy Spirit. He's the Holy One, and he knows all things. He knows all things. Some translation says, because the Holy Spirit is in you, you know all things. Really, it's he knows all things, and if you ask him, he'll tell you what's right. See, when the Holy Spirit is in you, and if you aren't familiar with the Holy Spirit, I would suggest that you start saying, God, teach me about Jesus and teach me about the Holy Spirit. I want to seek you, Holy Spirit, because you're the one who guides us into all areas of truth. You're the one, you are God in me who helps me understand how to make right and wrong decisions. Holy Spirit, baptize me with your Spirit. Show me your gifts. I want all of you, not a little of you. Begin to seek after him. And this thing, he'll have gifts. One of them is discernment. It's like a sixth sense. No one has to tell you what's right and wrong. I don't have to stand up here and give you a list of do's and don'ts, because if you know God, the Spirit of truth will tell you what's right and what's wrong. There was a young man, and some of you have met him. His name is Silverio. About 5 years ago on Father's Day, he opened his life to Jesus. Gangbanger, turned around, marvelous story. In 5 short years, I saw him just about, 4 or 5 months ago, was baptizing people here. And then now he's leading a Wednesday night group. My son goes to it, and several other guys go to it. So God has developed him. He's told me, he says, there came a moment in time after I became a Christian, not because of what a pastor said or a priest said or a rabbi or a teacher or someone in authority, but because of the Holy Spirit in me. I says, I knew I was listening to music that was not that great. It was not edifying. It was tearing my soul, but I had to get rid of all my music. See, that's something that the Holy Spirit has to say to you. I can't dictate what music you listen to or what you should or shouldn't listen to. That's what the Holy Spirit does. But if you know God, he'll tell you that. Because there's that sixth sense. There's just kind of a knowing. Some of you may recall in 1964, there was a Supreme Court decision made in the state of Ohio. A movie theater, the owners of a movie theater, wanted to show a movie that was risque in the eyes of many, actually pornographic from their view. And it rose to the Supreme Court in Ohio, and Ohio decided to ban that movie because they deemed it not just nudity, but deemed it as pornography. The owners of the movie theater took the case to the Supreme Court of the United States, and when it reached the United States Supreme Court, that decision was overturned under the auspices of the First Amendment, the freedom of speech. And in the dissenting votes of each justice, there was one who stood up and said, I cannot intellectualize, and I'm not going to try to convince anyone that this is wrong, but I know it when I see it. Right. Talking about pornography. See, that's a sixth sense. That's a well-known statement documented, and people will remember that Chief Justice. You know, I know it. I've looked at pornography, and I've looked at nudity. And I'm telling you, there is a difference. And the Holy Spirit inside of you, when you see movies or when you hear music, there's certain things that if you're alive in God, the Spirit will tell you what you should listen to. That's not good for you. That's not right for you. The Holy Spirit is in us. And the way that we activate the Holy Spirit is to know the black and white truths of God. See, if you're going to pick up the 50 Shades of Grey, you've got to know the primary colors. How many primary colors are there? Like six or seven? There's not nine primary colors. You got to know the, you say, I don't even know the primary colors. You got to know the primary colors. In order to distinguish the different colors, you got to know the primary colors. You've got to know the primary truths about God. And when you know those truths, it's going to release the Holy Spirit to take from those truths and help you understand, this isn't good for me. Well, others may do it, and they may say it's great, it's wonderful, but it's not good for me. And I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit has something to work from if we fill our hearts with the Word of God. I'll tell you what has no gray in it. God reveals Himself. That's a truth, no gray. God has an opinion about everything you do and everything I do. That's a no gray in that. That's a truth. God wants to help you find the right way. Why does He want to? Is he just kind of like, hey, this is right, you better do it. This is wrong, I don't like it, I catch you doing it, you're out of here, buddy. It's not just right and wrong. It's about the right thing, because we have a righteous God. He is so committed to helping you enjoy life. He's not interested in robbing you or keeping you from experiencing fun and experiencing all that there is to experience. But when you walk down His road, there are boundaries that you have to set for yourself. And if you keep crossing into those other boundaries, if you move into the other line of traffic, you're going to get into trouble. See, our heart isn't that He's ticked off because people just won't listen. No, he's hurting because you keep getting into trouble. Am I coming across? So maybe you're here today, and even as I'm talking, you're aware of, I'm wondering if this is right, Should I do this? Should I do that? Maybe there's something going on in your heart, and you're thinking about certain things you're involved in. That's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. It's not me. I'm just one person up here, but He's talking to you right now. And listen, you need to listen to the Holy Voice, the Holy Spirit, and what He's saying to you, because if you don't listen and you continue to violate what He's saying to you, He's going to get dimmer and dimmer, and you're going to become deaf to what He says. And you're going to begin to think like the world thinks. Everything's okay. What big deal is that, But you, the Bible calls it the hardening of the conscience. The hardening of the conscience. There's something inside of us that the Holy Spirit uses that's been trained by the Word of God. When it's been trained by the Word of God, it keeps you on target. And it keeps you on target. No, Tim, don't look that way. That's not good for you to look at. I violated it too, just like everybody else. I know what's right sometimes, but sometimes I do it anyway. That's my flesh. I kind of think, to be honest with you, that a lot of us kind of know what we should do. Most of the time, if we've been trained, a lot of kids, a lot of people in our society, in our culture, they haven't had any godly teaching at all, and they really don't know. But for many of us who have been in church, there's kind of an intuitive knowledge. That's the Holy Spirit, and if you follow Him, He'll lead you to life. You keep doing what you want to do because, it pleases me. It brings me pleasure. I know it's something I want for myself. I'm not thinking about anybody else. I know I'm taking it, and when God hasn't given it to me, if you just keep doing those things without consulting God, you'll find out that life will not be lived abundantly. That's why God wants us to always seek the right thing. Right thing. I know I talked to you as a dad today, and I'm not old enough to be some of your dads. But spiritually speaking, we want to stay on the right track, because our righteousness really isn't our righteousness, it's God's righteousness. There's a people who are self-righteous. They're going to determine what is right regardless of what God says. I'm speaking to a people this morning that I believe you love the light. You love what is right, and you want to walk in the light. But there are people who love darkness, and they don't want to come to the light. That's the story of the cultural clashes between movies and music and God's way. God's way and man's way. And there's a lot of freedom for all of us. Paul says, you say you can do everything, but please, as a church, seek the Holy Spirit and say, is this profitable for me? Is this really the best that I could do? And it really depends upon what your purpose is in life. Don't be driven by pleasure, be driven by purpose. Stand with me as we conclude. I want you, the elders' prayer teams, just make your way down as I pray. Jesus, I thank you for making a little bit of an adjustment. This wasn't a church service. It was a chiropractic gathering today. Just made just a couple of adjustments, and I pray that you, everyone would hear my heart, not trying to dictate or demand or set in stone certain do's and don'ts, but to elevate you, Holy Spirit, to do what you've been sent to do. And wherever we have been hardened in our hearts, I pray that there would be a softening take place. I pray, Lord, that you would help those who find themselves caught up in doing things that just really aren't beneficial for them. And for those who are here today and they have never gotten onto that right road, God, speak to them and have them come down front so that someone can just pray with them so that they can make a decision to follow you and to let you be the leader of their life, because that's the way that they can be experiencing life. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. God bless you. If you need some prayer, come on down. Have a wonderful, wonderful afternoon. God bless you.